Welcome back to the Gospel Truth Podcast. You know, we've been just having an amazing testifying service. Man, my goodness, you know, just when you begin to go and you talk about how the Lord saved you, you begin to, you know, it, not that you didn't appreciate it before, but it just makes you appreciate it that much more, what all God has given you, you know. And I'm thankful that, you know, that appreciation is just something that continues to grow the more that you grow with the Lord and the more that you serve Him. You know, I'm thankful that this is a growing and it's a learning way, you know. Just like what I began to say, you know, when I started off, you know, I mean, I'm like Ryan Gooden, I couldn't even quote John 3:16, you know, is how young I was in the way. But aren't you glad that God, it don't matter if you're a child all the way down, like in Vince's age range, or it's not even really literally about age, you know, I'll just say that much, you know. And my thing is this, is that, you know, if God can go and use an 8-year-old king for His glory to go and do right out of majority of all the other kings that we read about, where they go and were disobedient and wicked kings, my thing is this, God is not limited on who we can use or how we can use people. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that this flesh isn't a limitation for God, you know, but it could be a limitation to us, you know. I'm thankful for that. But over here, we've had the scripture on our heart, like, literally for the past 2 days, and we briefly kind of talked about it earlier with Brother Stephen, but I can't get it off my heart. But it's over here in Judges chapter 5 is actually where God's got our heart at. And, you know, my goodness, you know, something Sister Nikki says often, you know, and I'm going to tell on her because I'll tell you, you need to hear it too. I'm just going to say this, is that no matter what scripture you're reading, you can always find God's love in it. Aren't you glad for that? That we can find, you know, I'll tell you, you know, we thinking on even the, we were talking to, you know, in Sunday school, and I promise I'll get myself out of the way and we'll follow the Lord. I just want to talk, you know, just tell you about the goodness of God. But, you know, just even the Sunday school, you know, we've been talking about how a scripture can look so doomy and gloomy, but you can still find God's mercy and love in it. I'm thankful for that. But over here in Judges 5, this was around the time, I'll just start off by saying this, this was around the time that Deborah and Barak had already gone into war, and they had already taken out Sisera and his army, the Canaanite army, and now they're praising him for it. My goodness, I'm thankful that we got a God that's merciful, because before that, when it started off, I'll just say this, they had gone through 20 years of suffering, basically, is what they had gone through. But right here, it starts off by saying in verse 1, then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinom, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from that before God, Lord God of Israel, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages seized. They seized in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield of spears seen among 40,000 in Israel? But look what she says right here, and I couldn't get it off my heart. It says, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. And you can go ahead and be seated. So right here, obviously, again, they're in a time where they're praising God. I'll tell you, I'm thankful, even in chapter 4, what you can see right here, this is a big book of mercy. They have been in this 20-year oppression because of their unwillingness to follow God, basically. Yeah. But I'll tell you, aren't you glad that there comes a season where God brings you through a trial, and you can say, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. I begin to think of that. Aren't you glad that we got a God that if your heart is towards Him, I'll tell you, if your heart is towards Him, His heart, all the way from when He sent His only begotten Son, has always been towards the whole world. I'm glad for the love of God. I'm glad for the mercies of God. I'll tell you right here, I begin to think, right here, they begin to prepare to go in this war over here against Sisera. I'll tell you what happened over there. So even Deborah, she was a prophetess and she was a woman, mind you. I'll tell you, God gave her the words to go and prophesy what would happen to Sisera, which was a general. As you begin to read, she was a general of the Canaanite army.
for me. I'll tell you, but aren't you glad that God can put a word in someone's mouth that'll be exactly what you need to hear? I'll tell you, over there, I begin to think, over here in the book of Judges, they begin to raise up these judges because they had good hearts. Their hearts were towards God. I'll tell you what, I believe Deborah did that. I'll tell you what, I believe Barak, he eventually got to that point. I'll tell you, I like what he said here. He says, and Barak said unto her, if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if thou will not go with me, then I will not go. Aren't you glad that God don't send us into the battle alone? I'll tell you, I'm thankful that if you put your faith in him, I'll tell you, it is an amazing on how God can move. My goodness, that's awesome. I'll tell you, the thought that God put on my heart, and I just can't get it off my heart tonight, is the Christian that God deserves. I'll tell you, if you think about everything that God does for you, I'll tell you, it makes you want to be that. I'll tell you right here, I believe Deborah was that. I believe wholeheartedly that she went, and everybody she was around, she had a heart towards God. She had a way of being the Christian that God wanted her to be. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you, they were at odds. I'll just say this. When they began to go against this army, they were outnumbered. Yeah. But what happened? When God moved, he blessed them. I'll tell you, he blessed them. And guess what happened? She gets a whole chapter to praise God for it. My goodness, I'm thankful that we get even the opportunity. As the writer said over there, I think it was David, let every breath in me praise ye the Lord. I'll tell you, I'm thankful that we can do that. If we're being the Christian that God wants us to be, we will praise him. I'll tell you, thank God for that. You know, I'll tell you, I'll just testify to you, where for him just even bothering with a sinner and a wretch like me, he deserves all my praise. With him even bothering to take the time to speak to my heart, I'll tell you, I ought to be the Christian he deserves. I'll tell you, my goodness. You might be saying, preacher, well, are you saying that you could go and offer him anything? No, I really can't. There's nothing I could give him where it would be enough or sufficient for what he did with my heart. But I'll tell you, what I can do is I can work until Jesus comes. Thank God for that. I'll tell you, when he said right here, in 10 right here, she continues to praise him. It says, speak ye that right and white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way, they that are delivered from the noises. Now get this. Look what she says. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the place of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts towards the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. I begin to think of that. I'll tell you, as you began, aren't you glad that we can step back and just rehearse? I'm not talking about practicing. I'm talking about we can go and recount all the times that God has delivered us. Again, they were at odds. And she would say, rehearse that time. Recount it. And get it in your heart. I'm glad that just like this service, it's a testifying service. We can recount the day that God moved into our heart. My goodness, that's awesome. I'm thankful for that. That we can rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. I'm thankful for that. I'll tell you, we got a whole book of them. Yeah, I get it. We do. But we can go back to the day and the time where we escaped that awful place. My goodness. And it says, awake, awake, Deborah, awake. Utter a song. My goodness, aren't you glad that we can utter a song of redemption? My goodness, that's awesome. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, that sound of beating them. But then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. I'll tell you, I don't believe Deborah was trying to take credit for anything. I'll tell you, I like what Deborah said over there to Barak, Brother Aaron. I'll tell you, in the earlier chapter, she basically said, look, Barak, you're not doing this for your own honor. I'll tell you, everything we do, if we're being the Christian that God deserves, we're doing it to honor him. I'll tell you, guess what? I'm thankful that we can honor God. I'll tell you, the scriptures, they do teach this. Honor thy father and thy mother. I'll tell you, if I honor my father and honor the old mother church, I can be the Christian that God deserves.
Amen.
My goodness.
I'll tell you, everybody stops. I'll just say this. They look at the Ten Commandments. It's in there. I understand that. But it don't stop there. But aren't you glad that we can be the Christian that God deserves if we're giving him the praise that he deserves? My goodness. And he said right here, out of Ephraim, was there a root of him against Amalek after three? Benjamin, among thy people, out of Machir came down governors, and out of Zebulun, they that handled the pen of the writer, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot in the valley, for the divisions of Reuben there were great. Thoughts of heart, as you begin to go down through here, I'll tell you, God just began to give me this thought. I'll tell you, they begin to basically recount all the ones that took the call to arms to go and rise up against the enemy. But also, too, towards the end, he also talks about the ones that stayed right where they're at that should have answered the call. You know, friend, can I tell you, if God calls you to do something, you got to go do it. Because that's being the Christian that God deserves. I'll tell you, I don't want to be a part of the number, Brother James. I don't want to be a part of the number that went and heard the call and just sat back and didn't get in the war. I'll tell you, you don't know what I say. I'll tell you, when the war time comes, hand me a sword and a shield. Because if it's a sword and shield from God, I've got all I need. I'll tell you, we begin to preach about the shield. I'll tell you know what's great about the shield? It's a shield, it's for your protection. I'll tell you, but you know the beautiful part about God's shield is guess what it would do? First off, number one, a shield. In an army, it would bear the seal of that army. Aren't you glad that seal is God's seal of righteousness that he put in my heart, his spirit? That's what we're fighting for. But you want to know the best part about it? Is that shield, you want to know what it can do? It can withstand the darts of the devil. It can withstand that. If it couldn't withstand it, you know, can I declare to you, if it couldn't withstand, you know, the fiery darts that Satan could have, it wouldn't be really much of a shield, would it? My goodness, aren't you glad? Even David said, he's my shield and my buckler. He said, he's my shield and my buckler. Dang. I believe David knew a whole lot about that from a personal level. Yeah. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that David was a man of war. He had seen a war or two. Yeah. But you don't know what God did? I'll tell you the times when David, because he was still human, he made his mistakes too, but he was still a man after God's own heart. Yeah. He took the time to rehearse or recount all the times that God had delivered him when the odds were stacked against.
That's
good. I'll tell you. I'll just say this. If you don't see mercy and love in this, preacher, my goodness. If you don't see mercy and love with this, you just need to open up your ears a little bit and just really study and look and pray on it. Because I'll tell you, Brother Stephen, I see that all over the scripture. Because if God wasn't even willing to give them a chance, I'll tell you, he could have left them in that 20 years, even longer. He could have left them where they were at. But instead, what did he do? He went and used this woman in particular to be a judge to go and help push the people to go and get off their camp. Basically, and to go and do what God would have them to do.
Amen.
But you know, I begin to think earlier on. See, get this. It's like they rose up a judge to go and lead them. And as soon as that judge was done and was done with the fight, it was Old Testament time, so I believe they probably went into Abraham's bosom at that particular time. I'll tell you, then when Jesus died on Calvary, that's when the graves burst, and they begin to go where they belonged. But the point that I'm trying to make here is this, is that as soon as they laid it down, as soon as they were done doing what God had them to do, guess what happened? I'll tell you right there, it seemed like Israel fell in that same boat, that same trap, where they would begin to do evil inside of God, and then God would raise them up another judge to lead them, and then they'd start doing right again. I'll tell you, aren't you glad that we got a God that just does not give up? I'll tell you, my goodness, if that don't get you excited, it ought to. I don't know about you, but I find encouragement in scriptures like this where it may say, boy, it may seem doomy and gloomy, but I'll tell you, I find encouragement in it because God just don't give up on his people. God don't give up on his people. See right here, Ehud. Look what happened. This was all before Deborah had happened. Ehud, you know, I believe he did the best that he could. I do. But as soon as he died, then what happens? 20 years of oppression. And why was it? I'll read the beginning of the chapter 4. It says, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead." So notice, again, it was kind of the same cycle there, same with Samson. You know, Samson even had his faults. I'll just throw that out there. He did. He was a judge of Israel, though. He was a judge. But you know what I know the beautiful part about it is Samson even knew that all of his strength that he had, it wasn't just in the locks of his hair. It really resided in God. I'll tell you, thank God for that. I'll tell you, that's why a Nazarite wouldn't shave their hair. It's because what they would do is they would use it to consecrate or set themselves apart. I'll tell you, weren't you glad that the Spirit of God is what sets us apart through His sanctification? It sets us completely apart. I'll tell you, I don't fit in this world. I don't fit in a single aspect of it. You want to know why? It's because I got a God that don't give up on me. I got a God that don't give up on me.
Amen.
So then you go back over here.
Yeah.
Now they're in a place where they can be blessed. But you know, just like Deborah prophesied over there in 4, just like she prophesied, I'll just read it. We'll just follow the Lord.
Yeah.
And it says right here in 9 of chapter 4, and she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine own honor. So you can see right here, it was for the honor of God. I don't even believe Deborah was trying to take the honor. But she said right here, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went to Barak to Kadesh. And guess what? Later on, when the Israelites finally overtook the Sisera army, guess what happened? I'll tell you, the general was found in a tent with a woman. Imagine that. And this was after she had already prophesied that he would be, you know, that she would be over there with a woman, that he would be over there. What happened? She basically took out the general just to keep it at a non-G rated, cut it, to keep it at a G-rated level. She took out the strange. She took out Sisera. I'll tell you, just like she prophesied, I believe that Deborah, I'll tell you, even as a woman of God, I'll tell you, thank God for the woman that stood on faith. I'll tell you, we can't help but think about it. Think about Ruth. She was a Moabite woman, and guess what happened? God used her and Boaz in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, thank God for that. I'll tell you, even a Moabite, they weren't even supposed to go into other nations according to the law. I'll tell you, thank God for that. Thank God for the Marys that went and were so devout that they had favor in God. I'll tell you, thank God for the women in the Bible. I'll tell you, thank God for the Annas over there when Jesus was born. I'll tell you, my goodness, that ought to stir your heart.
Amen.
My goodness. See, we begin to put God in a box sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
And we begin to think, boy, you know, we begin to, no, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want nobody to get twisted now. I don't know. You know, I believe in roles in the household, so I don't want to. Let's just clear the air on that real quick. But that doesn't mean that God can't use whatever He wants.
That's right.
We ought not to put Him in a box. We ought not. He used women in the Bible. If He could use a harlot.
Yeah.
Rahab. Let's go. I'm going to turn to it. I'm going to read it. I just God's really stirring our heart tonight, so I'm just going to be obedient to Him because He deserves it. Matthew chapter 1, the blessed lineage of leading up to Jesus Christ. But over here, we'll just read it. It says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. You know, we might think sometimes, boy, you know, reading the lineages and so-and-so begat and so-and-so begat. How many times do we often just try to skim over it and act like it ain't important? But really, if you just choose a part to study out, God will point something out in it. You know, and every detail matters in the scriptures. But anyway, it says, you know, the son of David, the son of Abraham, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And think about who was Jacob. He was renamed Israel. He was a sergeant of the 12 tribes of Israel. I'll tell you right here. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah and of Tamar. And Phares begat Esram. And Esram begat Aram. And Aram begat Abinadab. And Abinadab begat Nason. And Nason begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Booz of Rahab. And Booz begat Obed of Ruth. There's Ruth's lineage. I'll tell you, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. I'll tell you, I begin to think about that right there. I'll tell you, the Boaz of Rahab. Aren't you glad that God took even because of her faith? Because she hid the spies like she promised she would. She kept her vow. Guess what she got to be? God used that woman to be a part of Jesus' lineage.
Yeah.
You know, my goodness.
Yep.
Sometimes, you know, when we only read about a small part with Rahab, we do. But, you know, aren't you glad that even if we got a small piece or a small part in God's plan, it's still very important.
Amen.
I'll tell you, they did. But, you know, I get it. You know, I know the Pharisees and all that, they put all their emphasis on the lineage. But, you know, can I say this? I'm thankful that my my salvation isn't staked on my lineage.
Right.
Can I say that?
Yes, exactly.
You know, can I just declare that? You know, with all the love that's in my heart, it's not staked on my lineage. It's staked on the faith that I put on God.
Amen.
And that's where really where salvation comes from. Did you put your faith in God? Do you believe it or do you not? It's either you're saved or you're not. I'll tell you, your brother Hunter said it best. I'll tell you, you know, all he had to do was just say yes. Amen. That literally is how simple God made it for us, is to just say yes.
Yeah.
If only us Christians, you know, if we wanted to be the Christian that God deserved, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, we're just following the Lord. You know, but this goes to me, just to anybody else. But I'll tell you, after a testifying service, I don't know about anybody else, but I feel this way. I'm just testifying to you for a minute. The point that I'm trying to make is that doesn't it make you want to be the Christian that God deserves?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It does. He deserves so much more than I give him, Brother Stephen.
Me too, brother.
But you know what? If we once we begin to just think, there's a simple fact that I got to say yes.
Yeah.
I was alive to say yes.
Yeah.
When he began to deal with my heart.
Yeah.
And guess what I did? I escaped that awful place.
Yep.
I'm not just not worried about anything to happen later.
Yeah.
You know what? I've said it before, and I'll just leave you with this. You know, I believe that God preached the message of what needs to be preached, but I'll just leave you with this. I'll tell you, things in the world don't continue to get worse. They'll continue to go downhill.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we can't pray for them and try to influence God to move on certain things. We most certainly should. But you know what? No matter how bad it gets, even if something in this world were to go as far as taking me out, I'm just not worried about it.
Yeah.
I'm not. You might say that's easier said than done, preacher. It is sometimes. I'm not going to lie. I don't, you know, I don't want to experience literal death.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants to experience that.
Yeah.
But can I declare to you that you want to know why I'm not worried about it? Because that's when my, I'm not saying eternity hasn't begun now, but that's when I get to go. I cross from here to there. I get to be with the one that saved me. Down here, the one that didn't give up on me. When how many times, you know, just go to the times where you failed him and you just think, man, Lord, I don't know why you don't give up. If he wasn't long-suffering and merciful, there'd be no Malachi. There'd be no books like that where he sent and supplied a burden for a messenger of God to go and say, look, you know, you guys, you know, you say, you know that I love you, but basically you're questioning if I even do. They're basically questioning everything.
Yeah.
In the book of Malachi, we do it.
Yeah.
We do it sometimes.
Yeah.
We get in a rough spot and we begin to question everything that God has ever done.
Yeah.
But you don't know what he does? Man. He just takes it. Just takes it.
Yeah.
And then I get to that place again.
Yeah.
And he just takes it again.
Yeah.
Lord, help me be the Christian you deserve.
Yeah. That's good.
He's worth it. Name of the worst time. Think about the worst. I promise I'm almost done. I just want to give him the glory he deserves. Name of the worst, think about the worst time in your life that you've ever been through. And now think about how God got you out of it. Ask me if he ain't worth serving. My goodness. That's the message. I got no more words, that's it.
That's
turn it back over to you, brother.
All I can say is wow. Amen. Wow. And just listen to the message. And just do it. Amen. And once again, I say wow. We love you.